Greetings to you, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy to connect with you online during such a time like this under lockdown. I know the whole world has been experiencing this coronavirus pandemic. We are struggling with the whole area of being isolated under lockdown. And as a result, it has filled us with anxiety, worry, as well as fear for the future. We just wonder what the future holds for all of us. More than that, jobs are being lost again and again, and business have closed. This is unimaginable worldwide. What are we to do? How are we to respond in the light of all these that has happened? Well, friends, you know what? There is another event in history that took place that is unknown, except for those people living in that small little city. And yet, friends, can I say, that event is far more important and significant than what we're experiencing right now with this global pandemic. Unknown, unnoticed. But friends, you know what? The influence, the impact, the effect ripples to this very day, that we're experiencing the blessing and the grace of God in the process. What is that event? That event is to do with Pentecost. In fact, this weekend is Pentecost weekend. And that's the reason why I want to speak about a visitation from heaven for all of us. And this is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 17 to 21. This is taken directly from the book of Joel, chapter 2, where about 800 years beforehand, there was a prophecy about this special event that's going to take place, okay, like this. And Luke records for us, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Let us pray. Father, again, we ask you by your Spirit, take your word, speak and challenge us, O God, we pray, and draw us all in response, our Father, we ask, in a wonderful manner, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Friends, you know, when Jesus was raised from the dead, for 40 days, he appeared to his disciples on various occasions, giving them convincing proof that he is alive indeed. And Luke records for all of us in Acts chapter 1. In fact, at one point, Jesus tells them about a prophetic occasion that is going to take place. Luke records again, Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard from me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So Jesus tells them ahead of time about the special prophetic occasion that when it happens, it will be so unusual and radical, the disciples will never ever be the same again. And what is that occasion? That occasion is to do with the coming of the Holy Spirit. And Luke records further for us like this in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before Jesus was taken up to heaven. "But you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you've been my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And so Jesus tells them to wait in Jerusalem for 10 days, and then after that, the Holy Spirit is going to come. And when he comes, it will be powerful, it will be radical, it will change and transform their lives radically and wonderfully. And this is what, friends, you and I see likewise in church history, when the Holy Spirit comes upon the people of God. I think of one man in Wales, in Britain, by the name of Evan Roberts. This man was seeking the face of God, and this man was greatly used by God in bringing the Welsh revival in 1904 and 05. But just before that, he was awakened every morning at 1 a.m. to spend time with God in prayer. And for 3 months, he had visitation from God for 4 hours every morning like this. And God is preparing him for what is to come in a 3-month period of daily time and communion with God. In fact, he was so close to God at a point of time that his heart was bursting with the desire to go out to preach the gospel. And he asked God for this desire of his heart, that God will give me 100,000 souls that will be saved, okay, all right, in a process like that. But just before he went out to lead an amazing Welsh revival, this is what Evan Roberts writes, okay, in his diary for all of us. "I believe The world is upon the threshold of a great revival, and I pray that I may be allowed to help bring this about. I beseech all those who confess Christ to ask Him today, upon their knees, if He has not some work for them to do now. He will lead them all as He has led us. He will make pillars of smoke by day and pillars of fire by night to guide all men to Him. Friends, with a kind of desire and heart, I pray this will also be reflective of all of us in our hearts. Will we come to Him, maybe bow our knees, Lord, what is it you want me to do in my day and my time? You know what, friends? Evan Roberts, when he burst on the scene to lead in the Welsh revival, he was only 26 years old. And I believe some of us watching this might also be around that kind of age. Friends, can I challenge you? This could be your time. Step up to the plate and do something amazing and powerful for God as you and I surrender ourselves to Him. I believe, friends, in this time of global pandemic, God is preparing us for something amazing to come. Let us not waste this moment. Seize the moment, and this could be, friends, the greatest hour for the life of the church. As much as Jesus gives us this prophetic occasion, then 10 days later came the Pentecostal outpouring. And Luke records for us in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4 in this manner. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You see, that Pentecost outpouring was so amazing that they spoke in tongues. Friends, you know what? More than that, many were gathered at that time in Jerusalem for the celebration of the Jewish feast called Shavuot, all right, which is a celebration of the first fruits that is brought to the Lord in thanksgiving in the temple. And you know, when the Holy Spirit is poured upon them, as I said, the believers heard them speaking in tongues. And what happens? Those who were present, Luke records for us in Acts chapter 2, verses 5 and 6. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. It's amazing. There were people from many nations gathered in Jerusalem in celebration of the Jewish Shavuot, and they were shocked to hear them all speaking right in their own language. In fact, if you read Acts chapter 2, we find that there are people, for example, who are Arabs present as well. So you won't be surprised, friends, when some of these Arabs who hear the name Allah be mentioned, God, or Alhamdulillah, praise be to the Lord, like this. And see, this is what God wants to communicate with the people gathered about His presence, about His power, about the mighty acts He's going to bring to pass in a wonderful manner. When the Holy Spirit came, Apostle Peter was unusually anointed. In fact, he preached with incredible power, as we read here in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 to 41, when the people gathered from nations around the world, they were shocked to hear them speak their own language and wondering, what has happened? Has these people gotten drunk too much with wine? Peter stood up and spoke like this, Acts 2, 37, 41. When the people heard this, they were cut to their heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many words he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to the number that day. Just this amazing, friends. It was phenomenal church growth that 3,000 were added into the kingdom of God on that day, Pentecost Day, when Apostle Paul preached. That was the start of the early church that we rejoice, we celebrate, and its influence and impact, as I said, has rippled down to this very day. In fact, early on, talking about Welsh revival, there was a Welsh MP who said this about the Welsh revival that broke out. And he says, by the name of David Lloyd George, "It is certainly the most remarkable spiritual movement this generation has witnessed. It seems to be rocking Welsh life like a great earthquake." Indeed, that's what happens. in 1904, 1905, in just a 1 year period, it changed, friends, the landscape of Wales. We find, for example, that many of them gave up drinking. Pubs had to close because nobody, or as they were converted under the power of the Holy Spirit, is interested to drink anymore. Crime rate went down. In fact, there's almost no crime that the judges were given white gloves because there are no cases for them to hear, right, in the law courts. Not only that, when these people are converted, they're not interested to go to movies, cinemas anymore, including even the football games. You know what? Even coal miners, under the power of the Holy Spirit in their conversion, changed their own language. You see, these coal miners work with donkeys and mules, okay, bringing coal up from the coal mines, okay. And what happens? You used to swear and curse at these donkeys and mules. But friends, you know, as a result of conversion, their language polished up. So instead of swearing and cursing at the donkeys, now they will say to the donkeys, could you please take 3 steps forwards and 2 steps backwards? The donkeys themselves couldn't believe the kind of language they're not used to at all. So, you know, it is actually recorded in church history. The donkeys were all confused. They have to retrain, right, with a new language they are listening all over again. Friends, that's the influence and impact the Welsh revival had. Not only on Wales, friends, it spread all over the world. In fact, the Pentecostal movement today can be traced to that period of the Welsh revival in 1904-05. Many of us know that the Azusa Street revival in California that spawned the Pentecostal movement in America could really be traced to the Welsh revival here. And so, friends, we rejoice and celebrate about the Pentecost outpouring of the Holy Spirit that changed the people and turned them around and become fiery for the Lord and changed the landscape of the land. And this went round all over the world. As much as a prophetic occasion Jesus talks about, that wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit to come, and then came 10 days later of the Pentecost outpouring of the Holy Spirit. What is the outcome that would arise in the process? Luke records for us like this in Acts chapter 4 about this amazing revival that broke out that went all through the book of Acts and has continued on to this very day. Of course, we know if you read church history, there were ebb and flow about this revival. All right, churches sometimes grew wonderfully, enormously. At times, it really went down and compromised and did all kinds of things that is so sad, I believe, to grieve the heart of God. But you know, friends, it continues on to this day in spite of all the problems, difficulties, and challenges. And this is an early record that Dr. Luke gives to us like this about the marks of revival. So he tells us about 6 things with regards to the revival that has happened that I want to trace it for us just in a book of Acts like this. Firstly, friends, that is great unity. And Luke writes in Acts 42, the first part of verse 32, all the believers were one in heart and mind. Friends, this is the amazing mark when revival breaks out. There is great unity amongst brothers and sisters, amongst believers, all right? There's oneness and resonance in everything that we do, that they do. And I pray, friends, by God's grace, the church likewise will be marked like this again and again. I thank God by His grace. DUMC experienced a measure of unity that we have never known before. I thank God for the early elders who stood with me all these years and the present team of new elders, just amazing men together with our wives that work together well in expressing this unity that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But secondly, there's great sharing. Again, Acts 4:32, the second part of it, no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. See, friends, there is great sharing of whatever we had with one another. I believe, friends, you know, this should not only be done with one another within the body of Christ. We must look beyond, especially during this time when there's so much needs around. You know, many of us, honestly, we are quite comfortable in our homes, even under lockdown. We don't worry about food on the table. In fact, if this lockdown, MC would be extended, honestly speaking, many of us have no problems. But friends, can I say, we must think of the B40 group, the below 40% in the social ladder in our nation, the migrant workers, the poor, the needy, the marginalized. These are the people really suffering. And so really in my heart, I pray that this MC will no longer be extended anymore because these people who are daily wage earners, they are really suffering. So it's very comfortable for us to say extend it. But friends, think about others. And that's why my prayer is, friends, that we will go all out to share. And I thank God the many in DMC have risen up to bring food to the poor, the needy during this time. I believe by now we probably have served 15,000 people and help others with the rentals, because why? Without jobs for many of them, including Myanmar, work and ministry in church, we find that they have to pay the rentals. And so I pray that we continue to be involved in this great sharing, all right, with one another about the blessings that God has poured into our lives. But thirdly, there is great power. Why? Because in Acts 4, the first part of verse 33, with great power, the apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, friends, the preaching of the word accompanied by signs, wonders, and healings marked the early church. And I pray this will continue to mark all our church in Malaysia as well as around the world, that indeed healing and deliverance, all right, conversion and salvation will take place in great numbers, I pray, by the grace of God. But, you know, friends, fourthly, there's much grace, unusually, that Dr. Luke records for us, the second half of verse 33 in Acts chapter 4, and much grace was upon them all. So this is unusual favor upon the people of God. In fact, Luke records for us at the end of Acts chapter 2, that the people of God enjoyed favor from all the people. Everybody around who are non-Christian will show unusual grace and favor to the people of God. What delight and joy. What blessing it will be for all of us, isn't it? That you and I, wherever we go, how nice to be greeted, how nice to be appreciated, how nice to enjoy favor, even from people who are not Christians. And I believe, friends, this is what we should be praying for, that as much as we bless people, we will in turn enjoy much grace from God in a wonderful manner. Now there's a fifth sign. A fifth sign is that of great increase in the body of Christ. Luke records like this for us in Acts chapter 6 and in verse 7. So the word of God spread, the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased greatly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. See, friends, even priests themselves, who at that time were committed to Judaism, even they turned, right, from Judaism to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and experience a wonderful, wonderful, right, salvation, right, in Jesus Christ. And so, friends, this is really should be our prayer, that by God's grace, we will see this more and more in the coming days. In fact, I pray by God's grace, friends, right, with this global pandemic, God, I believe, is saying to us something. Are we willing to reorder our lives? Relook at priorities that God is really wanting to remind us about. And at the heart of it all, I pray, friends, it'll be the heart for people wanting to see many saved, many to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that's how Luke records further for us like this in Acts chapter 8 and in verse 4. Those who've been scattered preached the word wherever they went. You see, these believers were scattered from Jerusalem as a result of the persecution and the martyrdom of Stephen. And so wherever they went, you notice the believers shared the word. I pray by God's grace wherever we are, whether, all right, in our neighborhood, in our home, in our university, college or school, in our place of work, in a hospital, factory floor, wherever we are, I pray by God's grace that we will really reach out to share the good news of Christ. Be a good witness. Build friendships and relationships. And out of that, friends, pray for God to open opportunity for you to share Jesus and see how God can use you to touch hearts, to change lives, and to transform the situation around you. So that when we do this together, more and more, friends, Malaysia, I believe, in the coming days will never be the same again. But there's a sixth and a final mark about this whole revival that took place in the early church. There was great joy. Amazing. Luke records for us like this in Acts chapter 8 and verse 8. So there was great joy in that city. Why? Because Philip was involved in preaching the gospel in Samaria. And as a result of preaching, signs, wonders, healing, miracles take place. And many were touched, many were drawn to faith in Christ, and out of that, it rocked the whole city there in Samaria. And as a result, there was great celebration and joy amongst, all right, the people there in that city. I pray, friends, this will be true, all right, in our day, in our time, likewise. That as the gospel penetrates and moves on to touch many hearts and many lives, there'll be great celebration, grace and goodness and the blessings of God upon our lives. People encounter God. People experience healing from God and a change and a transformation. You know, friends, today I've with me someone who have really experienced this. and his life has encountered the power of God and experiencing great joy and celebration by the grace of God. He is someone from DUMC, someone we prayed for like crazy, especially the last few months, and someone who has really, friends, experienced the goodness and the blessing and the favor of God. I have with me my brother Tan Boon, whom, as we all know, was taken down with COVID-19 and warded for many days in hospital. And so without stealing the thunder from him, I want to ask him now to come and share with us his testimony. And he's accompanied by his good wife, wonderful wife, Siu Lan. Okay, together they will share from their perspective what happened and what was the result at the end of it all. We give praise and thanks to God. Come, Tan Boon and Siu Lan, do this for all of us.
Hi, I'm Tan Boon, and this is my wife, Siu Lan. We would like to share how God saved me from COVID-19. Most people who had COVID-19 recovered quite fast, but I had it very tough. I hold the record for being the longest surviving COVID-19 patient in Sungai Buloh Hospital. I was in coma for 16 days, on ventilator for 17 days, and I stayed in ICU for all my 53 days in hospital. And how did I get it so bad? I was probably infected in early March. On 17 March, my clinic doctor still treated me for flu and cough. By the time I got to Sunway Medical Center on 18 March, I already had a serious breathing problems. From there, I was transferred to Sungai Buloh Hospital. My condition was so bad that I had to pass out in the ambulance. I cannot remember anything for the time until I woke up 16 days later on the 2nd April.
While Tan Boon was in the ambulance, I managed to speak to him. When he arrived in Sungai Buloh, he was in a critical state of septic shock. He had to be put on the ventilator immediately. The next 24 to 72 hours were very critical. I was advised to be prepared for the worst. Septic shock is a potentially fatal condition, and more than 50% of septic shock cases usually result in death. I was devastated by the news. Tan Boon's condition remained critical even after 72 hours. The next 2 weeks were the most difficult time of my life. I did not know what update I would get from the doctor each day. I broke down and cried many times. Katrina and Joyce, our two daughters, were my pillars of practical help and strength. Pastor Chris Kam texted to say the church was praying for Tan Boon. I also had strong support from my Bangsa Cell, friends, and relatives. I held on to God's promise in Isaiah 41 verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It was scary when Tan Boon's condition worsened on 31st March. There was not enough oxygen to his lungs and a tracheostomy was considered. This is a risky procedure to insert a tube through his neck. 1st April was the worst day. All his key organs had problems. Tan Boon not only had the risk of heart failure, his lungs were hazier and his kidneys were not functioning. He also needed blood transfusion. That day, we nearly lost Tan Boon. Looking back, the Holy Spirit took control of the situation. He guided the cell to travail for Tan Boon while he prompted the cell member to suggest renunciation and repentance identification prayers. Led by Pastor Jin Leong, a Zoom prayer meeting was quickly organized by our cell leaders. I stood in a gap for Tan Boon to renounce all the temple worship and idols in his life and also repented from all occult practices. After the prayer, Zechariah 3 verse 4 was released, which I took to mean that the Lord had accepted my prayer and that the enemy no longer had a legal hold on Tan Boon. In Zechariah 3 verse 4, the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." Then he said to Joshua, "See, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." God is holy. When sins and bondages were removed, the power of God came through swiftly. The very next day, 2nd April, was a joyous day for all. Tan Boon woke up that morning and he could respond to commands. His lungs improved so much that the doctors considered the removal of the ventilator. I will never forget this day, which was also Joy's 18th birthday. God granted her wish to be her father awake. The ventilator was removed a day later. What a miraculous turnaround.
Even in coma, God did not leave me nor forsake me. God was with me. He gave me a dream. In the dream, I was seated in the total darkness inside a very crowded train. The train had to pass through a blazing furnace. As the train went through the fire, I felt the heat. My whole body was very hot, just like Daniel and his friends in the Bible. I was not consumed by the fire. Nothing happened to me. But all the people in the train perished. The Lord lifted me up with the dream and reminded me that because I love Him, He will rescue me, as in the Psalm 91. He gave me hope and I would live and not die. I remember waking up in the morning on the 2nd April. The ventilator tube was still inside my throat. It was very painful. I cried, "Lord, please help me. Please heal me." I told the Lord that I did not have my Bible. The Holy Spirit reminded me again of Psalm 91, that the Lord was with me and would not harm would befall me. The Holy Spirit also reminded me that my cell members would surely be praying earnestly for me, just like how they had prayed for someone else in the past. That also lifted up my spirit. A day later, when the ventilator tube was removed, a few doctors were at my bedside. I heard Dr. Ang said, "You are a miracle." I replied, "My mighty God has saved me." I could not speak well, and I also could not swallow for about 2 weeks as my throat muscles were injured by the tube. Ventilators saved lives, but ventilator also caused pain and harm. For weeks, I was without my phone and was cut off from my family and friends. I lay down on my bed each day, alert but weak and pain, with bed sores and having to go to dialysis. I often cried to the Lord. I prayed whatever Bible verses I remember, and I prayed to the Lord in my mind with songs like "How Great Thou Art" and "Amazing Grace." When I spoke to my wife for the first time on the 17th April, I was happy and comforted to know that many people was praying for me. On 1st May, when I was given my phone and my iPad, I can see messages of love and prayer support from members and pastor in GMC. I also discovered that myself had gathered daily to pray and pledge for God's mercy for my life. I cried, feeling very blessed to be in the body of Christ. God heard the pledge of His people and He answered their prayers. I am very thankful to many people who journeyed with me, and especially myself, who prayed earnestly for me. I am especially grateful to my dearest wife. She stood in the gap for me to pray for my condition, where most critical on the 1st April. Because of that, she did. God snatched me from the jaws of death.
It was by God's grace and mercy that Tambun survived COVID-19. We are very grateful to the doctors and nurses who took great care of him. We are also very thankful to Abangsa Cell, which gathered daily to worship and pray until Tambun was discharged and safely at home, believing always that God will save and restore Tambun miraculously. Their commitment was total, and the daily sessions of more than 50 days have brought a whole meaning to praise and prayer, and also to Cell Life. We are also very grateful to many people and pastors from other churches who prayed daily for Tambun. My journey with God will never be the same again as I reflect on His goodness, faithfulness, and promises. Nothing is impossible with God. I encourage everyone to pray without ceasing and be encouraged that God hears our prayers. Our God will never leave us nor forsake us. I also urge everyone to join a cell.
Yes, it was a miracle that I survived COVID-19. I'm thankful and I am safely back with my family at home. On the hospital bed, I've learned that money is not everything and it should be the main priority in life. Going forward, I plan to spend more time learning God's word, as His words had the power to bless and heal, as well as to give hope and new life to all hopeless. God has given me a second lease of life for the purpose. I want to make my life count on Jesus. I want to serve Him. All glory to our God Almighty.
Well, thank you, Tambun and Sulan, for your amazing testimony. But also, Angel and Maylin, they've been part of the cell group for the joy, the privilege, I would say, really, in spite of something we don't look for and not desiring it. But God has taken your whole cell group into a new experience, what it means to pray, to intercede, and to cry to God and see God at work in a powerful manner. So I pray, friends, that all that we hear, this will lift really our faith level to a new threshold to begin to believe God as to what He will do in our hearts, in our lives. Friends, would you do that? All right, that indeed Tambun had challenged us about the joy in the Lord, about gratitude and thanksgiving, about favor and goodness, about the need to continue to journey together, not just for ourselves, with ourselves, but also with the world outside to touch them and let them experience the grace and the goodness of God. And so, friends, would you join me to believe God for a great breakthrough, wonderful revival that will take place, that indeed our city, our nation will never be the same again. And let's take the gospel, indeed, like the early disciples, to the uttermost parts of the world, to touch the world for Jesus Christ. I'm going now to lead us in prayer, asking that God will begin to work in our hearts and do a deep work, and like that of Evan Roberts, surrendering ourselves that He might lead us to become a pillar of smoke by night and a pillar of fire by day. May God help us and challenge us in this process. Let us pray. Well, before I pray for every one of us, maybe there's some of us tuning in, listening in. You're not yet a Christian. If that is so, I want to lead you in a prayer, simple step of prayer of faith in Christ to trust Him as Lord and Savior. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin and begin to see yourself moving under the grace of God and the blessing of God in the coming days. So if you'd like to, my friend, pray after me this prayer in your heart. Lord Jesus Christ, I want to thank and praise You for Your love for me. Lord Jesus, I want to say that I'm a sinner. I believe You died on the cross for my sin. Please forgive me of my sin and come right now into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Take control of my life. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and Your power and give Your love, peace and joy so that deep down within there is a quietness and restedness in You, so that whatever the future holds that I can know and trust You because You hold the future. Thank You, Lord Jesus. And I want to pray for all of us. Father, even if you heard about this Pentecost outpouring, this amazing visitation from heaven, Lord, we pray You do it again in our time, in our day. Come and touch us. Come and, Father, I pray, retune our hearts, O God, so that we will set it right in terms of our priorities in You and with You, so that we will burn again, Father, we pray, O God, with this Pentecost fire by the Holy Spirit. So, Holy Spirit, come. Come in a fresh new way. Release Your power, Your grace, Your touch, O God, and set us free from all forms of excuses, reservations, rationalizations, O God, so that we be freed, Father, I pray, to reach out to share Jesus and show love to people around us, so that many will encounter You, be touched, changed, and transformed. So work in all of us, Father, I pray, O God, so that during this time, especially when we have time to pause, to take a pit stop, I believe, Father, oh God, You're preparing us for greater things to come. So help us to seize the moment, the day, and need to rise up, oh God, and be the kind of person You designed us to be. So that truly, oh God, like the days of Evan Roberts, we've been involved in touching hearts, changing lives, transforming the landscape, so that our city, our nation, indeed the whole world will never be the same again. Do it again in our time, Father, we pray, with this Pentecost fire and outpouring of the Spirit, Father, we ask. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Let me close in prayer. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord may His face shine upon you and be gracious towards you. The Lord turn His face towards you and give you His perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, can I say for those who prayed the prayer to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, okay, can you tap on the button, all right, so that people will follow up with you at the end of it all, at the end of the service. And that's very important. Others who need prayer, you can tap on the button, live prayer, and there'll be someone who will be there, journeying with you, praying with you, supporting you. And let's continue on in the spirit of Pentecost, friends, my prayer, so that together we'll do great, wonderful things for the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Have a great day and a week ahead.